of the
Roadshow!
It's the radio
for
Roadshow!
From the TV at Row Union, Edinburgh!
Hello, Edinburgh!
Yo!
I'm Tony Hawkes.
I'm Neil Mullarkey.
And I'm Nick Hancock.
And what a marvellous thing it is to be here in Edinburgh!
Yo!
Oh, I see. Clearly this week's pointless and irritating exercise for the audience to do is to shout out, yo, every time I say Edinburgh.
Yo!
And we're going to say a couple of things about the venue where we are today. We're at the TV Row, which is at the University of Edinburgh. It's the students...
Yo!
It's at the students' union. Give people at home a flavour of the sort of place it is.
Yo!
It's that sort of place, certainly. The sort of place where sad people shout things out at the wrong time. But why? Why have we come hundreds of miles from our hometown of London to make a programme we could as easily record it in a ready-made studio, not 5 minutes taxi drive from our luxury West End apartments?
Well, Nick, I think it's because the prawn sandwich gang upstairs at Radio 4 decided, in an effort to reach a new, younger audience, that Radio 4 should do a roadshow, just like the Radio 1 roadshow.
Of course, what they don't realise is that most young people would rather have their eyes sucked out by an industrial vacuum cleaner and replaced with soil than attend a Radio 1 roadshow.
A complete UK Top 40 countdown
is not actually on Radio 4, but there are plenty of other interesting programmes, news, features, documentaries, drama, and hilarious shows such as this one.
But our roadshow is going to be different and exciting. We've got music, gags, poorly thought-out competitions with pathetically cheap prizes, contrived links, and no celebrity guests of any kind. Our mission this week is to convince you that Radio 4 is really, really attractive to young people because it's just so darn sexy.
Radio 4 is really sexy.
When making love, people often choose to listen to music such as Ravel's Bolero, Enya's Orinoco Flow, or Napalm Death's From Enslavement to Obliteration. But Seamus Tucker, the world record holder at shagging, as verified by Norris McWhirter, always chooses to listen to Radio 4 when he's on the job.
Get in rhythm with John Humphrey's incisive political comment, Seamus!
The thrust of his argument certainly acts as an inspiration to my love play. Am I still the best at shagging then, Norris?
Yes, you are, Seamus. Although, you'll always have to let me come and watch to make sure. There's nothing funny going on, though. The Guinness Book of Records must be kept accurate at all times.
Radio 4 is certainly hot in the pants area.
So, if you're having trouble tuning into our hot wavelength or you just can't get your aerial up, why not book yourself in for a session with our youth problem counsellor, Anne Person?
Thanks, Tony. And this week I'll be looking at family problems. All of us have had problems of one kind or another with our family, whether it be a bullying older brother, a strange and unsavoury family friend we have to call Uncle Jeff. Or parents who keep trying to persuade us that we'll never ever make it in radio advice counselling and should get a nice steady job with a regular wage in tourism management. But don't worry, because I'm here to help you find the answers to your problems.
Yes, so if anyone here in the audience tonight has an embarrassing family problem of any sort, shout it out and perhaps we can all kick it round for a bit. Anybody actually here with a member of their family? You've got your dad here with you. I think we must always like talking to old people, sir. You are, aren't you? Tell me, what's he like as a son?
Very tall.
Really? My word, he is very tall. I think you're a splendid chap. Come on, you must have some stories about him when he was a nipper then, eh? We all want to hear them.
He was much smaller.
Yes, that happens, I think you'll find.
I don't think I remember anything else about it, no.
Really? Must have been a really memorable time bringing him up then. He just got taller. Good.
Here's a very interesting fact about Edinburgh.
Due to the curvature of the Earth, Edinburgh is in fact further south than Bristol. It stands on the south side of the Firth of Forth, which is the fourth largest firth in the Lothian region.
It is often referred to as the Athens of the North due to the large number of kebab shops on the Lothian Road. The inhabitants have taken this title to heart to such an extent that they have even voted a Greek Duke of Edinburgh.
There are more branches of What She Wants on South Bridge alone than there are in the rest of the British Isles put together.
And what a great shot that is. What She Wants, or as it is alternatively titled, What Every Woman Wants. The shop that answers the question which almost every man who has ever lived has tried but failed to answer. What is it that every woman wants?
Well, personally, Neil, I would say that every woman wants flowers and nice meals at fairly posh restaurants.
Yes, in my opinion, every woman wants hot trouser action.
And for my money, what every woman wants is to make my life a complete misery by breaking my heart and any pride I had left into small pieces. But no! No, no. Apparently, we're all wrong. What every woman wants is some cheap, shoddily made flowery blouses, green lycra leggings and polyester jumpers, all wrapped up in a bag with curly 1970s writing on it.
To think it was that simple all along. If only we'd all known sooner. Anne. Problem.
Problem. Hey. Parents. At some stage, all young people get on badly with their parents and seem to have nothing in common with them. But don't worry, it's not unusual. And anyway, they probably aren't your real parents at all. But in fact, malevolent strangers who stole you away at birth from your real, kind, liberal and rich mum and dad. And that's why they keep going on about how dad has always found tourism management a perfectly satisfactory career.
So, Anne, would the way to overcome these tensions be to sit down and talk it over?
No, Tony. What you should do is shave off all your hair, tattoo spiders, inverted crosses and obscene words all over your body and face, and join a mind-warping quasi-religious underground cult movement. That'll teach you.
Here's another interesting fact.
The Edinburgh Festival first began over 2,000 years ago... in Athens. To commemorate this, every year the festival is opened by an actor who enters the stadium carrying a lighted torch which he uses to show people to their seats. 500 doves of peace are then released, representing the original 500 venues used by the ancient Greeks to put on their productions of Stephen Berkoff.
Well, of course, a roadshow wouldn't be a roadshow without a poorly presented and rather annoying competition based on some slightly out-of-date trend designed solely to humiliate the participants.
Right, let's all go crazy for our karaoke competition.
Go karaoke!
You know, kids, a year ago, if you'd mentioned karaoke to somebody, they would have said...
Oh, that's a form of participation singing, helped along by backing tracks originating in Japan, which hasn't really caught on here yet, though it probably will have by this time next year.
And you'd have said... My word, you're dull, aren't you?
OK, now I'm out in the audience with my Radio Mac. I need three volunteers. You three will do. Thank you very much. You could just stand. Round of applause for these three people with this. OK. Come on, come here. Come on. Lovely. Lovely. Up you get. Up you get. Oh, come on, come on. Come on. Come on, it'll be lovely. All right, lovely, marvellous. Contestant number one, what's your name?
Kamran.
OK, Kamran, those are the lyrics for the song I want you to sing. This tune is one I think we don't hear enough of. I'd like you to vocalise in karaoke style Rondo Ossia Polonaise, the third movement from the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra in E minor number 6 by Niccolo Paganini.
Sing along to music! Da 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 diddly diddly dee! Da 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 diddly diddly dee! Da 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 da! What the hell is this?
You missed a diddly there.
Da 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 diddly diddly dee! Paganini! Yay!
OK, now what's your name?
Serenella.
Serenella, OK. That wasn't really fair, the last one, I think. So in the spirit of Radio 4, we're going to ask you to provide the vocals to this episode of our top soap opera, The Archers. With you playing rural wag Uncle Tom, OK? Just read in your bits.
Well, I'm sorry we've not found anywhere suitable.
Ooh, ah, well, ooh.
They all look so miserable.
Ooh, ah, yes, ah. It were all blooming miserable. It's no fun for us old uns. Ooh, ah, well, I suppose as you're right.
Very good.
OK, third contestant, what's your name?
Quentin.
Just one more to go, Quentin. And as we're in Edinburgh, if you can grab your baton, wind up your bagpipe voice, and don this kilt, we'd like you to throw yourself into the Edinburgh military tattoo. You can do it, man.
Okay, the new. La la la. Okay.
Yes, he's folding his arms now in a quite Scottish manner.
Hootsman.
Yes.
Haggis.
Yes.
Kilt.
Try some military stuff now.
Guns and tartan. Stuff like that. Castle. That's about it.
I could listen to that all night. Well done, Quentin.
Okay, well done. You're all fabulous. And you don't go home empty-handed, because in exchange for your dignity, you get a BBC Radio 4-style key fob, which seems a fair exchange under the circumstances. There you go.
And bear in mind that that key fob at some time might have been handled by one of the incredibly sexy Radio 4 personalities.
Here's another intriguing but factual piece of information.
New evidence suggests that Greyfriars Bobby was not, as held in the popular myth, a small and faithful dog who slept guarding the grave of his master, but was in fact a tiny, bewhiskered man who was ridiculed by the citizens of Edinburgh for sitting all day and night at the grave of his dead dog for the last 18 years of his life.
So opinion is divided as to whether Greyfriars Bobby was a dog, an emotionally immature elderly man, or an example of a lost half-human, half-dog race of a bearded dogmen.
Each week on the roadshow, one of us goes out on the streets of the town we're in to meet the locals. And what better a subject for me to go off and talk about than Greyfriars Bobby? Dog, man, or dog-like man? So, I'm off to find out about the miniature hound human.
Okay, Neil, we'll keep in touch via the satellite link-up.
Investigative journalism, you know, has always amazed me. David Attenborough, for example, spent over £8 million of licence payers' money to find out all about life on Earth. Why didn't David Attenborough just go down to his local library and look it all up in the natural history section? And Kate Ady. Every day, Kate Ady risks life and limb going into the heart of dangerous war zones. Why doesn't she just stay at home and watch it on the telly like everybody else?
That's right, Nick. So while Neil's off running around the wintry streets of Edinburgh trying to give us all more of the flavour of this lovely city, I'm going to achieve the same result by staying here and reading the local papers.
The bit in the middle
of the programme. Nick Hancock and Tony Hawks.
Radio
4.
Well, yes, I've got the evening news here, open here. I don't know if anyone's read this tonight. This is strangely written by a journalist called Raymond Notarangelo, which is a tremendous comedy name. The article's quite good. Edinburgh's householders are being urged to take in a new type of lodger, reformed convicts. Ian McFadden, senior development officer with the Lothian branch of the Scottish Association for the Care and Resettlement of Offenders, that's got a ring to it, hasn't it, said, "We realise this is not the easiest thing in the world to sell to people, probably quite true, but ideally we want to find mature people who have a bit of life experience and with a sympathetic outlook and feel they have something to offer." I think if they've got something to offer, the convict might well find it, and quite soon. Nick, I believe you've had a look through the paper as well.
A couple of pages on from that, I was quite pleased to find. Page 9. Driving ban is the rather catching title. This is brilliant. A Bathgate man was banned from driving for 3.5 years at Edinburgh Sheriff's Court today. The court heard that he had been arrested in August while driving down Dundas Street. Police stopped David Baird at 9:45 p.m. on August the 12th when his driving became erratic. He had been clocked at speeds exceeding 100 miles per hour, which, if you know, Dundas Street is going some, even down here. And was found to have been drinking. Surprise, surprise. This is the best bit. I can't believe this is in. Upon being charged, Mr. Baird told the officer, "It's fair. I'm pissed." That's not all of it. Hold on. A police doctor told the court that the man had a dangerous level of alcohol in his bloodstream. Dr. William Boyd said, "If the man had consumed any further alcohol, there is a very good chance that it would have been fatal for him." Yay! Upon being sentenced, Mr. Baird said, "I would like to thank the arresting officers for saving my life." Because At the time of the arrest, I was about to pop into Clark's bar for a swift half. That is brilliant.
Radio 4 is really sexy.
Ming Ming, the panda of London Zoo, had resisted all attempts to coerce her into fertility. One day, however, keeper Mr. Andrew Dworkin left an unattended radio playing Radio 4 in her cage.
Smears about the NHS.
And thanks to the sound of Nick Ross's sexy voice, Ming Ming gave birth to 3 panda cubs.
Radio 4, so sexy it can induce pregnancy in a panda.
Anyway, here's Neil with some more human-animal news.
Neil's out and about.
Yes, hello, Nick. I'm now at the Greyfriars Bobby Monument. There seems to be some doubt as to whether a dog or a man or a half-man, half-dog creature could possibly have spent all those years sitting on a grave. So I'm now going to find out in an amusing roadshow-type stunt. We're going to invite residents of Edinburgh to don a rather pathetic and cheap dog mask and then see how long they're prepared to stay seated in one place. Well, obviously, we don't have a grave for them to sit on, but we have got a bench. We're from BBC Radio 4. Do you know the story of Greyfriars Bobby?
Sorry.
Would you be prepared to stay seated on this bench for 14 years? Just see how long... You've got to go? No,
yeah,
but what happens if... You've got an appointment. All right, well, thank you very much. Anyway, excuse me, sir and madam. Would you be prepared to put this dog mask on?
I would not be prepared.
Sit on the bench. I mean, if the dog can do it in 14 years, you could do 10 minutes.
Well, no, I'm actually going to get blood.
5 minutes. You're going to get blood?
Yeah.
All right, never mind. Here's a man who looks like a dog. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. We're from BBC Radio 4. Do you know the story of Greyfriars Bobby?
No, I don't know the story at all, no.
Would you be prepared to put this dog mask on and sit on that bench to see how long you could stay there?
Well, I'll try that.
In honour of Greyfriars. I'll just see how you can handle it. Are you an inhabitant of Edinburgh, sir?
No. No.
Where are you from, sir?
Originally, I'm abroad.
You're from abroad?
Overseas.
You don't sound it, sir. You sound Scottish to me, if I may say so.
But I've been a lot abroad.
You picked up the accent. Can I just ask you to put this dog mask on and just recreate that historical moment with Greyfriars? How does it feel inside that mask, sitting on the bench right now, sir? It feels nice. Oh. We're just trying to work out whether it's feasible for somebody... dog, half man with dog mask on to stay there for any length of time. Okay, do you want to just talk us through how you're feeling?
I feel all right.
You feel okay, sir? Okay, now if you get worried, you want to panic, just say so, and obviously immediately you must stand up and take the dog mask off. We don't want any kind of danger on this program. Well, let's just see if there's anybody who would like to come and join you. So we have got another dog mask there, and let's go back later to see how they're getting on.
Here's another interesting fact.
Arthur's Seat is not really a seat at all. It's a volcanically formed hill at the foot of the Royal Mile. However, it does belong to a man called Arthur, who won it in a bingo game at Funland on South Bridge. And seat is in fact ancient Scots for a volcanically formed mountain. But Arthur's Seat is only one of the fabulous tourist attractions of Edinburgh. There's also the castle and Holyrood Palace.
It's said that when a man is tired of Edinburgh, he's probably already seen Arthur's Seat, the castle and Holyrood Palace. And so he should go off to St Andrews and see some of the tourist attractions there instead.
Now, Nick, St Andrews may have a golf course, a ruined abbey and a castle as well, but does it have an annual military tattoo?
No, it doesn't, which seems to me to be an excellent reason to go there.
Now, what a lot of people don't know, Nick, is that Edinburgh actually has an alternative military tattoo, where local residents chase and capture a bagpipe player and tattoo "I suck" on his forehead.
Of course, the soldiers in the tattoo aren't the only people that walk the streets of Edinburgh annoying the locals. There's also Neil Malarkey. So let's see how he's been getting on.
Neil's out and about.
This man over here, he's been there now fully 10 minutes. We're trying to recreate the Greyfriars Bobby situation. Would you be prepared to put that on, sir, and see how it feels? So we've got somebody else who's going to join in with you, sir. If you could just take your seat there. Legend has it there was only one Greyfriars Bobby. Here we're actually recreating where there are actually two Greyfriars Bobby. Now, our first gentleman, how are you feeling inside that dog mask? It's not so bad. Okay, sir. And the second dog, how are you feeling?
Well, I could get quite used to this.
You could get quite used to it. Do you have a dog yourself, sir?
No, I don't.
Would you go and sit on the grave of, say, a hamster you have? Or do you have any other pet?
Oh, I used to. I would now. What? After going through this experience, I would.
You would. Do you have any feelings that you like want to start licking your testicles or anything like that in a dog-like way?
Yeah.
Licking your ass?
Yeah.
Right. OK, well, thanks both very much. We'll just let you carry on sitting there.
Nephews and nieces. When your brothers and sisters start to have children, your parents will use their fertility as a stick to beat you into producing children yourself with someone you don't even like. But beat them at their own game. Have the children and then call them ridiculous names like Hitler, Dr. Crippen, or Tits. And teach them to be evil and unnatural so that their grandparents are embarrassed to show them off.
Hey, Anne, I think we should treat children with respect and love. You know, I often say if children ruled the world, it would be a much better place.
Yeah, but it wouldn't really, would it, Tony? It would actually just be smeared with jam and snot and have a national anthem written by Chesney Hawks.
But children are so cute, though, Nick. I mean, just the other day I said to my nephew Ian, what noise does a cow make, Ian? And do you know what he said? He said, leave me alone, please, Uncle Neil. I'm 18 years old now. And you're not my real uncle anyway, just a friend of my mum's. Does Dad know you're round here again?
Here's another interesting fact.
The people of Edinburgh have their own form of Cockney rhyming slang known as talking Scottish. Some examples of talking Scottish are...
You pinstorer, you stupid wee mangy southern git.
Meaning, you from the south, then?
Piss off, you wee English bastard.
Meaning, you'll probably be wanting to return there quite shortly, I shouldn't wonder. And...
Were you punsy Ned Sherner's punsy actor, lovey-dovey, kissy, tossy, jitsin, oodle and snoggin' Melvin Bragg, Robert Robinson crap?
Meaning the Radio 4 reception is so much better there, isn't it?
Now, Edinburgh has boasted many famous citizens in its time. Not just a tiny fictional dog man, also novelist Sir Walter Scott, Terry Scott, Scott Tracy from Thunderbirds, and Dana. And of course, in modern-day Edinburgh too, there's a host of talent on the way to becoming every bit as famous as their forebears. So lastly tonight, before we sign off, we're very pleased to have with us two excellent local comedians.
So could you please give a warm roadshow welcome to the first of our guests, Phil Kay.
First of all, hands up, everyone in the audience. Thanks. Oh, great. And wait a minute. Give me a tea. Thanks. Right, so I went on holiday recently. What did I go on recently?
A holiday.
A holiday, yes. I went on a holiday. We landed in... I must try and pronounce this correctly. We landed in the airport, as it were. No, so to speak, you must, you know, vibrate your larynx, obviously. I say. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, my mother-in-law, she's lovely. I love her. You know when you come into Edinburgh, right? You're coming down Princes Street and the castle's up on your right. It's lovely, isn't it?
Kenny Harris.
Good evening, Edinburgh.
Yo!
Good evening, the audience listening at home in the radios. I hate it when an audience gives you nothing to work with like that. It's pathetic. Very nice to be here. Sorry, I didn't want to start with such a cliched opening. If you go and see live comedy or you go and see bands or whatever, they always say it's very nice to be here. Now, these bands and this crowd here, they've been on the road for months doing the shows and they haven't washed for weeks and they're doing 9 shows a week. And everything. There's got to be somewhere where it's not very nice to be. You know, there's got to be... So if a comedian comes on and says, or a band comes on and says, it's very nice to be here, they're lying to you. Unless it's me. I'm from a place called East Kilbride, so it's very nice to be anywhere, to be quite honest. Always gets a big round of applause from the Livingston posse, that one. Everybody now listening south of the border is going, where the hell's Livingston and where the hell's East Kilbride? East Kilbride and Livingston are both examples of those fine architectural planning things that we did in the 1960s. New towns. East Kilbride, Milton Keynes, Crawley Newtown, Cumbernauld. Cumbernauld, famous and always gets the biggest laugh because of the advert. You know, like, proper places don't need advertising. I mean...
Edinburgh doesn't have an ad. I live in Edinburgh now. I've been here for about 7 years, and ironically enough, I live in the new town of Edinburgh. Edinburgh city centre is split into the two bits, right? There's the bit up near the castle and down the Royal Mile, which is called the Old Town because it was built in the 12th century. And then there's the bit the other side of Prince's Street, which is called the New Town because it was built in 1815. Now, if you come from East Kilbride, 1815 does not constitute a new town. In East Kilbride or Livingston, if a building says 1815 on it, it means it was finished at 6:15 yesterday afternoon. But you probably all recognised immediately that I'm not from Edinburgh because I don't say Ken-like at the end of every sentence. Because if you come from Glasgow, you don't understand why everybody in Edinburgh has got to finish the sentence with a phrase which is completely and utterly redundant, by the way. Well-timed pause there. I'm glad we rehearsed that one. The accents are very different, and people point it out to you. I get a wee bit fed up with it. You go into a fish and chip shop. I'd like a fish supper, please. Salt and sauce. No salt and vinegar. Oh, you just threw for the festival. No, I'm not. It's the middle of January. 8 months till the festival. What are you talking about? You know. But everybody outside is now going, oh, at last, someone's mentioned the festival proper. And the whole of Britain's now going on the radio, oh, the Edinburgh Festival, the biggest arts event in the world. And everybody listening in Edinburgh is going, festival? What festival? Because nobody in Edinburgh gives a shit about the festival. Well, you do it for one reason. If you live in Edinburgh, you give a shit about the festival because you can't get parked anywhere. Ken, did you see anything at the festival? Aye, millions of bloody tourists. Walks up the street. So I was doing a gig during the festival, and when I got to the gig, there was a woman lying in front, right in the gutter, parallel to the pavement there. And she was lying out. I said, are you all right? She said, yeah, I found a parking space. So I've sent my husband to buy a car.
Kenny Harris there, thanks very much. Well, that's the end of our second End of the Road show. Have you had a good time at Edinburgh?
Yes, thanks!
And have your foul anti-Radio 4 prejudices been quashed?
Maybe!
And what do you think would improve it further?
More bagpipes!
Good, more bagpipes it is then. Now, next week, we're off to Bristol, a city renowned for its maritime history, beautiful Georgian architecture, and it's being named after a euphemism for a woman's breast. So, goodbye.
It's the End of the Road Show trivia titles. The End of the Road Show came from the Teviot Row Union, which is named after the famous Scottish cannibal hunter, Mr. Teviot Row. The performers, Nick Hancock, Tony Hawks, Neil Malarkey, and Rebecca Front, are just as funny offstage as they are on, except for Tony, who is more funny. The writers, Stuart Lee and Richard Herring's favourite programme on Radio 4 is The End of the Road Show, and so is their mums. Their assistant, Armando Iannucci, assists ants. If producer Sarah Smith were to be cloned, the mysterious twins would be a valuable asset to any international intelligence agency.
Next week, the action moves to Bristol.